We're very privileged today to have someone special amongst us. So we'd like to welcome Isla. No. Yeah, that's true. But and Tim and Elise, who have brought Isla along. No, we've got this wonderful family coming to share with us things about what they've been doing, about the Word of God, and about where you see God's call for you and for us. Yeah? It's over to you.
Hi, everyone. Hi. So, thanks for the intro. For those of you who don't know us, this is our home. You are. And we're really privileged to be back here and to see so many familiar faces and a few new ones. You guys sent us off maybe 4.5 years ago, just over. And we've been up in Arnhem Land, which is Indigenous land up in Northern Territory. And we're just really happy to be here. Elise isn't going to stand here the whole time. Isla's gone to sleep, so I'm going to do the talking bit. But please come and say hello to us afterwards. Yeah, cheers. Wow. So, remarkable statement that came from that earlier reading, the one about the love of God. It says, for those, you are close to the kingdom of heaven, to people who are testing him and coming to Jesus and asking questions to try and trip him up. And they were asking good questions of God, and he said, you're close. And he started his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within arm's reach. And so when we ask good questions, when we start seeking, their hearts weren't in the right place, but he says, you're close. You're close. Keep going. Your heart will be snared by that gospel. So 2 years ago, I was working full-time as a teacher up in Arnhem Land, and Elise was working at Anglicare. And I left my job so that we could work with youth. There was no youth ministry in Nhulunbuy. Neither for Yolngu youth nor for what they call Ballander or Western youth. And so we started a youth ministry, and as well as trying to figure out how to actually connect with Yolngu people. And we had some connections, and we really started investing in those relationships. And we really wanted to thank you for investing in us to invest in that. And the last year, the end of last year, we joined with a group called Pioneers, which is a missionary organization, to benefit from their wisdom and, you know, the experience. Many of the, while the team was new, there was team members who'd been up there working with MAF, which is Mission Aviation Fellowship, which is a great mob. They do fly people out to different places and create accessibility. It's like a service ministry. And between the team, there was something like 50, 60 years or something of experience working with young people. So that was great to have some of their experience. But when we joined at the beginning, so as we were coming in at the beginning of this year, we really had heaps of ideas, heaps of passion, the whole team did, of what they wanted to do to help. And our leaders very wisely said, wait, stop. There's a lot of people in Arnhem Land doing a lot of things, but we're not seeing long-term benefits. We need to learn. We need to learn a lot. And this was coming from someone with 10 years of experience up there. So this last year has been incredibly frustrating. It's felt like we've had our hands tied and not being able to do much, but we've learnt a lot. We've learnt a whole lot. We've been looking at the best research across the world for similar situations where you have a dominant culture and a more subjugated culture, and how that affects identity, how it affects culture, how it affects how we interact culture to culture, economically, spiritually, socially. It's all mixed together. And of course, the trick, if it was only so simple, is fostering relationships that empower both sides. It's not about subjugating ourselves to try and elevate them. It's not about subjugating them and coming in with arrogance. It is about elevating both to a positive and strong relationship. between what they call Ballander and that's us, and Yolngu themselves. See, God wants to come. God wants Yolngu people to come to Him, to understand themselves, to understand Ballander, to understand God, and to act as sons and daughters of God. And our team's mission, our mandate, is Yolngu discipling Yolngu, to see Yolngu discipling Yolngu. Because despite a long history of missionization, the Indigenous church is almost completely missing this. There are pockets, but it is rare. So a story stands out the first time that we were invited to what is our homeland that we've been adopted into the family of. We visited this homeland and we sat down for church with our family. And the elder of the family, who is a man who's almost twice my age, an experienced Christian, a leader of his family, looked to us to lead his church. That's interesting and heartbreaking. But that is the reality. So our job, I suppose, what our desire is to help Yolngu people by empowering them in healthy and good relationships with God, themselves, and with white people. And after all this studying and learning, what's our plan? What are we doing next year? Well, more learning to start off with. We would love to be able to get out into the homelands more and be less dependent on me doing relief work at the high school, which would require a little bit more regular financial support. But the cool thing is, as we've been praying about God, you know, God, what do we do? What are we trying to do? We knew we needed to get out to the homelands more, and our car, though being a Hilux and fairly indestructible, not quite up to the challenge. It's a much older vehicle. And so we were looking for most of this year to try and upgrade and something that we could afford. And we found something, finally, towards maybe a month ago or something. We found a car. It was perfect. It was the right price. It had everything that we needed. It was in the right location. And we said, God, this is great. You know, is this it? And God said, no. Okay. What? He said, dream bigger. And all of a sudden, he started tying together a whole bunch of dreams and ideas and tying them together in a way that actually would work in line with what we'd been learning about best practice from everything we'd been learning. And this is the idea. This is the dream. We would like, with money that we don't have, to buy a truck, a four-wheel drive truck. There's a particular size that's just right and will actually fit out onto the tracks. And on the back of that, we're going to build a tiny house. For those of people who aren't familiar with the tiny house movement, it's basically being able to fit a larger amount of people into a very small space. It requires a great amount of design and things, and Elise, being an industrial designer, has been going nuts with designs. We have some great architecture, great furniture, how everything's going to fit together. And the idea is that we would live out of this tiny house, going out into communities, but bringing business with us, trading, and be able to come in as equals and to say, we have things that you might want. What do you have that we might want? And be able to start trading. And in that space, while we're there, be able to say, are there any Christians? Are you meeting up? Can we meet up? If you're not, why? And then start trying to pray and be wise in our trying to create sparks and encouraging the local church to be the local church, to start standing up and declaring what Jesus declared at the beginning, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that changes things. The dynamic rule and reign of God is at hand, right here and right now. And Jesus said to those Pharisees asking those questions, sorry, the scribes who were asking the questions, you are very close to grasping the kingdom of God. He says it's at hand, it's within arm's reach. Just grab it. Reach out and grab it. See, God wants Yolngu who come to him, who understand and act as sons and daughters of God. But God wants a church, a bride. He wants you to come to him, to understand who you are, who other people are, who he is, and to act as empowered heirs of Christ. God wants your heart. Can I ask you a question quickly? Who really loves reading the Bible? I mean, really, like they really just are very fond of opening their Bible and going treasure hunting, finding stuff in the Bible. Who loves reading their Bible? Put your hand up, nice and tall. It's okay, there's no condemnation. Just put your hand up if that's you. Okay, I want you to keep your hand up, put it back up, keep it up if this is true of you. That at some point, you've had an amazing personal, perhaps emotional time when God has spoken to you through the Bible, and it was amazing. So put your hand up if you love reading the Bible, and that's true of you. Everyone else, take a look around. Look at those hands. Look. We're going to get there in a second. Okay, cool. Second question. Who loves praying? Who really loves connecting with God? Just being in God's presence, talking to him, whatever. However it looks, who loves praying to God? Okay. Keeping your hands up if you can. Here's the question. Who of you, one of two things, this is true of? One, either you've had an amazing personal answers to prayer where God has answered dramatically, perhaps even miraculously, or God has encountered you in that private place of prayer in a very personal and amazing way. Keep that hand up. Everyone else, look around. Okay. Last one. Who here loves worshiping God? Worshiping God, perhaps through song, perhaps in any way, I don't care. Who loves worshiping God? Belting out tunes or just praising God? Okay. So keep it your hand up if this is true of you. How many of you have had amazing personal times when while worshiping, God's presence has fallen on you tangibly and it was amazing? Okay. Have a look around. Look at those hands. Now, let's look at a group of men who carry their paralytic mate to a house with God inside and dig through the roof to get to him. I wonder why someone might do that. It is related to the questions we just asked. Here's the thing. We've got a paralytic man and his friends are carrying him to the house where Jesus is at, and the place is full. And Mark 2:4 says, "And when they could not get near him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him." Okay? "They removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay." Why would they do this? How did this paralytic get such backbone? How did these friends get such chutzpah? They know that God has good things, and they are after it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." God is real. The first one. We're not just talking about any God, we're talking about the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, one who is mighty to save. As John said before, he is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He is powerful and trustworthy. Secondly, that he wants you to come to him, and he rewards people seeking him. See, they clearly had some experience of God's goodness before. It might have been stories from their parents. It might have been from reading the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. Or it might have been direct experience with God. But however it happened, they understood and they believed that God could change things for their situation. And they acted on it. They sought the presence of the Most High. How can we know what God wants to say to us, do for us, accomplish with us? It is the same for you. It is the same for the Yolngu in Arnhem Land. We must be able to remember that, one, the Lord is good, and that he rewards those who seek him. We must collect stories of God's character because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we collect stories of his kingdom, his rule and reign breaking in on earth as it is in heaven, as we are instructed to pray. How? Well, you saw the hands. Go ask them their story. Go ask them their story of the Almighty One encountering them so much that they love opening their book because this was the place God touched them. They love worshiping because this is the way God met with them. They love praying because this was the way they saw the mighty works of God unleashed upon the earth. God's love and intimacy change everything. Let me tell you one story from us. It's not actually our story, but it's a real good one. We have lots, so feel free to come and ask for more. But one of our team leaders said, told this story. She'd been working with an old Yolngu woman to try and get her onto the house waiting list for government housing in Arnhem Land, because the housing crisis in Arnhem Land is ridiculous, like 15 people to a one-bedroom house, ridiculous. And she had just gotten onto the waiting list, and this was a great success. But she was told that the waiting time would be 10 years minimum, and it was unlikely that she would live that long. She was devastated, and as a Christian lady, she prayed with much tears. And God gave her a vision, like an honest-to-goodness, full-color, Old Testament, Book of Acts vision, and showed her the room. Jesus appeared to her and showed her the room that Jesus had prepared for her in his Father's house, and said, "This is the room that I have waiting for you." And she was so changed by that, so overjoyed. She was talking about this vision and saying, "I don't need the house anymore. I don't care. I don't care. I've seen the house that I have waiting for me. I can come off the waiting list now." What do we do with these stories? We put them into practice and we say, if God is like this, then I. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. That means you don't have to be an old young lady for God to give you a vision. We looked at the parable of the sower. We, of course, want to be the good soil, to give 100-fold, to give good fruit. We're told that the enemy can take the message of a good God, that shallow faith can undermine our growth, that, or even us getting started, that worries and pleasures of this life don't let our fruit mature, but we know that these are problems that can be overcome. We know that this can be fixed. And if that's you, if you're finding that I am overcome by worries and anxieties or tempted by all the pleasures of this life, then repent and confess. If you're not sure what that looks like, read your Bible, you come and ask us some questions. Repent, change your mind completely, change the way you're thinking, and confess, say the same thing as who? God. What's he saying about you? What is the difference between a tree choked with thorns, that its fruit can't mature, and a tree laden with fruit? Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches. He is the supply and we are the bearers of fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing, Jesus says. So seek him and put your faith into practice. There we find maturity. There we bear fruit. I'll finish with this. Matthew 13, 45 and 46 says, quoting Jesus, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Is any price too great that you wouldn't pay it? To have all that God has for you. Lock onto the good things of God and seek him. Seek him because he rewards those who seek him. You can discover just how good, how powerful your heavenly Father is and make something amazing. The kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Tim, Elise and Isla are going to be around for about a month, I think. And Tim and Elise will be sharing during the evening service and during our Wednesday service, and we'll be coming back during our morning service at the end before you go, so we can pray with you and send you back to the Yungala country. So thank you, and may God bless your time as you go around all different places and share your wonderful story. As we prepare to come to communion, we're going to sing again. I bow my knee.